Live at 5 Sports with Todd and Suhan, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort. Jim, things aren't going so well for the Twins. 6-10 on the season. Jim and I are talking fairly early in the morning, not yet 8 o'clock. Twins have a matinee today, so by the time you hear this on KWLM, today's game well over. Going into it, though, pretty well handled by maybe the best team in the American League in Baltimore.
Yeah, it's a bad time to be playing a good team.
Yeah.
The left side of the infield was really supposed to be the strength of this team. Correa and Royce Lewis, and, you know, now they're both hurt, and the lineup just looks like a minor league lineup. You're going against, you know, they've already had to play the Dodgers and the Orioles, two of the five best teams in baseball. They just need to kind of hold onto the rope here. Paddock has been really disappointing. Varland, I still go back and say the easiest second guess for this franchise right now is they could have spent money on Snell or Montgomery, put Varland in the bullpen, and they would improve both units dramatically. Instead, they try to let Varland be a starter, and I just don't think he's good enough as a starter. Mm-hmm. Paddock's disappointing. I think he has stuff that should play, and he just hasn't been sharp enough, hasn't been efficient enough. To his credit, at least he kind of hung in there yesterday and saved the bullpen at least somewhat. This lineup, I mean, I said it on opening day at home, this lineup doesn't scare you when Royce Lewis isn't in it. And with Royce Lewis and Carlos Correa out, and Wander failing, and Julian not taking good at bats, it looks like a minor league lineup.
Yeah, and, right now Buxton's struggling, too, to make contact. Yep. And they just don't really have many guys going at all right now. And some of their second-year players who we would hoped had stepped up, like Wallner and others, they're having a little bit of a sophomore slump, too.
They are. Very disappointing. And remember, you know, this was our conversation for most of last year. They just, they were not swinging the bats well. They weren't taking good at bats.
Yep.
And I guess that's what bugs me, is that it feels like when Royce Lewis is around, this team just doesn't take a very intelligent approach to hitting. And Buxton's just, you know, Buxton's such a streaky player. I don't want to bury him too early because he's the kind of guy who just, he could have a week and all of a sudden his numbers look great and he's carrying the team. But yeah, you would like it to happen now because they just don't, they need him right now.
Right. Yeah, no doubt. And that's not happening for him so far. And it's kind of the same issues it seems like it's been for Buxton for a while. It's pitch recognition. He's still swinging at balls out of the zone and taking some good pitches. Now, we've seen him get outrageously hot. All of a sudden, it'll come to him. We're waiting for that streak, though.
He's really a feel hitter. You know, you watch Lewis and say, okay, he knows what he's doing. He understands pitching patterns. He has great pitch recognition. He knows how to work a count. You know, high-level intelligence. Correa, mm-hmm. high-level intelligence, even though he's not quite as talented a hitter as Royce Lewis or even Byron. Byron is a feel hitter. Mm-hmm. And when he feels right and when he's recognizing the pitch and he swings at the right pitches, he can be a devastating player. Mm-hmm. But he can also get himself out for an entire week going, you know, and that's what we're seeing right now. He just, you know, and that, I don't want to oversimplify it, but basically when he swings at pitches in the dirt, he's an easy out. When he lays off those pitches, he's a really tough out.
Yeah. Yeah, and can do so much damage when he actually gets the pitch he wants to hit and is able to unleash on it at that point. You know, I was looking at Paddock's numbers a little bit because I'm wondering, you know, going into the rotation, you know, we always hear, well, pitchers have to gear it down just a little bit to make it through a 100-pitch outing instead of a 20-pitch outing. But really, his numbers are fairly close. He's only down about a mile per hour on his fastball, so it's curious to me why last year I got everybody out and this year he's not.
Yeah, he has not been efficient. Even when he's had his better outings, he has not been efficient. I just think he needs to attack earlier and get ahead earlier in the count. I just think it's that simple. He's nibbling, he's falling behind, he's running up big pitch counts, people are getting to see his stuff. I just think he needs to just attack more. And, you know, here's the thing. You know, I remember having this conversation with Eddie Gordado. He's an all-star closer, threw a 90-mile-an-hour fastball.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, and he said, hey, and Roy Smalley said the same thing on our podcast, said, your stuff doesn't get better later in the count.
Yeah.
It's not you're saving your best pitch for 3-2.
Right.
So if your stuff isn't going to be better when the count's 3-2 or 3-1 or you're behind, why not throw it early?
Mm.
Why not throw your best stuff early and just be efficient? And Eddie always said, hey, the guy might get me. You know, but percentages are in my favor. If I don't walk them, and if I, you know, if I throw strikes, percentages are in my favor. And every once in a while, the ball is going to make a really loud sound. You get over it, and you go back to throwing strikes.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, Twins struggling game three earlier today against the Orioles. Timberwolves and Suns, they just announced all the game times and so forth against the Suns. You know, I talk with Alan Horton on Tuesdays on my podcast, and he doesn't pick games. I wouldn't ask him to pick the series. But just from his tone, this is not the matchup Alan Horton wanted to see for the Timberwolves, that's for sure.
There's no doubt that this is the worst possible matchup. Mm-hmm. The way they play, the fact they're starting to play really well together. I mean, they're just a ridiculously good sixth seed. Mm-hmm. And there's only a sixth seed because it takes time to incorporate new stars. I mean, Beal was hurt for a lot of the year. But now they got it going. And this is a team that, you know, this is an excellent team.
Yeah.
You know, this is an excellent team that is figuring it out and playing really well. I still think the Wolves should be favored. Mm-hmm. Home court advantage. A long series where you think Finch is going to have a chance to figure things out. You know, I think they should be able to impose their will with size and wear down Phoenix's inside players over the course of the series. And I think the Wolves have better depth, which might play out well during the series. But it's not going to be easy. You know, it's the hardest possible matchup.
No doubt. And nobody really has a legitimate matchup for Kevin Durant. I mean, the guy, he's got to be considered in the top handful of scorers all time in NBA history. And they play Anthony Edwards on him a lot. But Edwards gives up half a foot in height to Durant. That's not an easy matchup for anybody, I think, especially Edwards.
I agree with you. Edwards' advantage is he's stronger than Durant, so he can kind of push him off his spot if he wants to play low. He's also quick and a leaper, so he can kind of get up in Durant's face. But you're still talking about a 7-footer who shoots a high release and shoots an incredible percentage, and you just can't block a shot. You can't block a shot without fouling.
Right.
So with Durant, you just have to make him as uncomfortable as possible and hope he misses.
Yeah. And then he's not the only one. Devin Booker, you know, I remember back a few years ago when the Timberwolves wound up with D'Lo, there was fans with giddy optimism that they would try and get Devin Booker, and the Suns, of course, are never going to part with him.
No.
But he's that kind of a player. You know, he's, again, another guy who just needs some credibility with postseason play to be considered one of the real stars of the game.
And remember, you know, they had a lead in the finals against the Bucks.
Yeah.
Tim Connolly on our podcast at Head Flyer Brewing last night talking about these things. And, you know, when Tim was done, we talked about Finch, and I kind of reminded him and said, hey, we did some kind of a watch party thing with the Timberwolves brass and Chris Finch back in the day when he first got here. Mm-hmm. And we're sitting there watching the Suns and the Bucks play in the finals. Mm-hmm. And the Suns were having their way early in that series. It looked like they were the better team. They had a lead. And Finch is sitting there saying, yeah, but the Bucks can do this, this, and this. If they do these things, they're going to win the series. Mm-hmm. And he was the only person saying that, and he ended up being dead exactly right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that kind of gives me some faith that Finch can find matchups during a series.
Yeah. You know, I was watching the Golden State game last night, and they just got plowed. And I'm not a basketball genius for coaching and so forth, but it looked like they had a plan to defend Steph Curry, and the Warriors didn't have a plan to do something other than what they normally do. I really thought that Steve Kerr got out-coached last night.
I think Steve Kerr was the right coach for that franchise and for those players. Mm-hmm. And he's great with relationships, and I think he's helped get the most out of Steph Curry, mm-hmm. and he's known how to use Steph Curry. I don't know that he's the greatest in-game coach I've ever seen.
Okay.
You see that throughout sports. There are a lot of people who are good program coaches, not necessarily great game coaches. You see it a lot in college football, mm-hmm. where, you know, or football in general, where people, you know, run, like Andy Reid used to be terrible at clock management. This mm-hmm. is a Hall of Fame coach. He was terrible at clock management. So I'm not sure Steve Kerr is the greatest game coach. I think that got covered up a little bit by the fact that he had Steph Curry run the show for him for a long time.
Right. Jim, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Live at 5 Sports at Todd and Suhan, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort.